You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Now, the publication of the latest COVID-19 report has been looked at by RNIB. So important stuff in this one, and to get their response, we have with us Sophie Dudgeon. Sophie, thank you for joining us.
Thanks very much, Alan.
So this is, I think, the second report. There's still a long way to go in this. It is going to be a very in-depth and a long inquiry.
It certainly is. So there's 10 parts to the inquiry. They're each called modules. This is the second module, probably the one people have heard the most about because it was linked to all the kind of WhatsApps and sort of gossip that came out of government about those kind of big decisions that were made. But yes, this was about the political decision making across the four different nations. So it's a really comprehensive report that came out yesterday.
It's slightly damning, I think, is probably a good word to say, for all the nations as well, the devolved governments as well as Westminster. Now, with regards to people with disabilities, obviously blind and partially sighted people were impacted quite badly, negatively, during this and the decisions that were taken by governments as well. Was that gone into in great depth in this particular report?
I'm really pleased to see that there was a lot of reference to people who were disabled. I did a search. There were 134 mentions of people who were disabled or having disabilities in the big volume that came out with this report. So yes, there's a proper understanding of the situation. It's sort of grouped among groups who were considered vulnerable. So people with vulnerabilities and inequalities is the way it's sort of described. But there's some really strong sections about the impact on disabled people. And it does acknowledge, you know, the fact that there was a higher mortality rate. As we know, blind and partially sighted people were disproportionately affected. And that's something that's, you know, really, really important to us to keep talking about, that you were literally, you know, people were more likely to die if they had a visual impairment. And that is something we just think needed to be properly understood much, much faster and earlier than it was.
It's shocking to hear that in the 21st century that we're actually using that, you know, as a sentence, if you like, that this was caused by this. Was there a look into the causes of this? You know, when during lockdown and so on, you know, RNIB and the radio station here were doing a huge amount on a daily basis trying to communicate the differing do's and don'ts, if you like. There were issues, I think, probably in every facet of life, right down to the basics of even finding food. But a lot of that just down to communications as well.
Yes. So it really sort of talks about the socioeconomic impacts and the kind of how that intersects with other types of inequalities. So it does sort of recognise that that there were groups in society which included disabled people, but also included perhaps, you know, children or people from ethnic minority groups. They were all, you know, particularly affected. And it basically says all the governments should really have been planning much, much better. They should have known that this was something they needed to think about, not just that those groups might be more affected by the virus, but they might be more affected by the response to the virus, as we know. So, for instance, those changes to grocery deliveries. And as we've talked about a lot, you know, the impact of social distancing on people was really problematic. And really importantly, many blind people were receiving letters, shielding letters that they could not read, which is completely unacceptable. I have to say, we're still to be convinced that hadn't happened again if there was a future pandemic. So we're still very much monitoring and pushing for proper implementation of the NHS Accessible Information Standard in England and its equivalents in the nations.
A lot, as you say, Sophie, then, for communications, and indeed even simple things like ordering food online, you know, apps or websites that weren't accessible. And I know for a while, blind people especially weren't classed as that vulnerable group that could be prioritised as well. So even the basics of getting, you know, food was a problem right from the word go.
Yes. I mean, that's only sort of briefly mentioned, I would say, in this report, but I'm really pleased it is in there. It does mention food insecurity. So we do know that, you know, all the submissions and the evidence that we've supplied throughout the pandemic itself and then during the process of this inquiry, we're really pleased that these things are being recognised.
What were the big takes then from RNIB? What were the things you looked at and you said, yes, this has been understood, this was a huge problem?
So there's a couple of things I would say. First of all, there's that recognition that there must be preparedness. There must really be solid planning and an understanding of how different groups in society, including disabled people, will be particularly affected both by a virus and by the response to a virus. Secondly, there's a clarity about the paucity of data. There just wasn't the right information. It sort of goes through the timeline of months going past, how slow it was for the disproportionate impact on disabled people to be picked up in the official data. And even when it was picked up, it then took a while for them to disaggregate that, to separate out into different types of impairments. So it was November 2022 when the Office for National Statistics actually published that key data, which shows that people with visual impairments of working age were particularly affected. So, you know, that recognising the data isn't good enough is hugely important, and we must get action on that. And then thirdly, this point about accessibility. So making sure communications are fully accessible, that all public health information can be accessed by people during pandemics and other national crises. That's fantastic. And obviously we'll be pushing that forward, because it's all very well to say that, it's making it a reality for people.
I know, as someone who's blind, Sophie, you know, for me, one of the big things as well was even the COVID tests were completely inaccessible. Yes. You know, having to get people to help me do those as well, which kind of flew in the face, for I suppose, for some people in terms of social distancing.
It really did, didn't it? And there was some incredible work done by colleagues at RNIB to keep pressing for those tests to be made accessible. And that work did go on for many months and has, you know, did reap some rewards in the end. But it was a very, very slow process. And we need these things to start from the beginning, that it shouldn't be an afterthought. You know, we want every government to be thinking about blind and partially sighted people and disabled people from the very beginning, to involve them, to listen to them, so that they're fully involved and their needs are understood.
An important point there, Sophie, is that involvement. So, you know, we hope there won't be another pandemic or something like this in our lifetime, another huge emergency like that. But the preparation has to be done. And as you say, people with disabilities, including those who are blind or partially sighted, need to be involved. They need that lived experience to say, this works, this doesn't work, this is what you need to put in place. And that has to be done as soon as possible.
It certainly does. I mean, what I can say is the Cabinet Office, who have this sort of cross-governmental role, they have been working on some resilience and emergency sort of guidance and processes, and they've been doing that alongside the inquiry, which, as you say, is going to take some time. But the Cabinet Office have been working on this resilience and emergencies guidance for some time now. We've been involved in feeding in on that. So I'm pleased to say it's clear that some work is going on. I think we just want to make sure that we keep up that voice, because it's so important to keep making this point, because so many other, you know, priorities come across government, but we've got to get this right.
And a reminder as well, Sophie, you know, RNIB isn't just commenting when these reports come out or making, you know, their suggestions, if you like, for how things could be made better. You know, RNIB's chief exec, Madge Stringer, was one of those who actually did give evidence at one of these interviews, cross-examinations, if you like.
Yeah, that was this time last year. There were public hearings being held on the next module that will be publishing its report. Hopefully, I think maybe 4 or 5 months away now. But that module was about the impact on healthcare systems. So our chief executive, Matt Stringer, gave evidence on behalf of a group of charities called the Disability Charities Consortium. And we are eagerly awaiting, you know, the findings of that and the recommendations that come from that, which, again, we talked a lot about that disproportionate impact on people's health and their lives. We talked about the paucity of data, that we've just got to be able to, if you can't monitor and track what's happening, how can you respond to it in terms of understanding the impact on disabled people? And then really importantly, as I've said, the accessible communications issues, making sure that accessible communication is a reality.
It's funny how that word crops up so often, Sophie, communication. What is the next step for RNIB once you've obviously looked at this report and you've gone through it? Does the charity have the ability to take things further or to press for more to be done and greater involvement?
So the inquiry itself, while it's running, that will hold the government to account, the current government. It will be monitoring whether the recommendations it's made in great depth, whether those are taken up by each of the four nations. So they've requested, you know, those administrations need to develop action plans, for instance, about how government communications will be made more accessible during any pandemic. So they are making some requests of the governments, which the inquiry will be monitoring what they come back with. In the short term also, there'll be normally be a debate in Parliament after a report of this gravity as well. So there'll be different ways we can keep talking about this, but be assured we'll be on the case.
We'll definitely be communicating to our listeners, Sophie. For the moment then, thank you very much for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks very much, Alan.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.